Faith isn't necessarily something tangible like an orange or an apple, something that we grasp and have in the grips of our hands that we can literally see. And sometimes people ask the question, what is it? How is it exercised? And if God expects us to have it, shouldn't we know what it is? And so today I want to go over illustrations and some points about what is faith and how can it be exercised in the Christian experience. Well, first of all, before we do that, let's take a definition course a little bit here of faith. The word faith is defined many times throughout the Scripture in different ways and forms. And there's at least 5 points here, or 5 definitions in Scripture, and 5 definitions that you see just readily in your dictionary. But faith takes on a numerous role in maybe different categories, but it's really all in the same, and we're going to discover that here today. But let me give you a few definitions today as outlined in Scripture. First of all, faith is an assurance. Faith is a conviction of the truth of anything, the conviction that God exists and that He is the creator and the ruler of all things. In other words, faith is a conviction of truth of anything. It could be faith in that the grass is green. It could be faith in, God is real and He lives in heaven. It could be faith in a God of any type. But faith is a reality and a conviction in one's heart. Faith is, we practice faith here every day. You have faith that when you sit down on the pews, they're not going to fall out from underneath you. That's an act of faith. You have faith that when you get in your car and you drive down to church today, that the wheels aren't going to pop off. Well, that may not be sure for everybody, but it is a faith that you believe that your car will get you there. It's a conviction of a truth. It's a belief in something. Point number two, or definition number two, faith is a confident belief. Let me rephrase this here. Faith is a confident belief in the truth or something trustworthy. In other words, it's a confident belief in truth or in something. So faith could be a belief in something, an action in my life, in my mind. I believe that it's true. It's you believe that the carpet is maroon, I guess, or red, or whatever color you want to call it. But it's a belief in that it's a reality. The grass is green. It's a confident assurance. And today we're going to look at the confident assurance that we have in the validity and the truth of God and His Word. Definition three, faith is a belief that does not rest. I like this one. Faith is a belief that does not rest on logical proof or material evidence. I like that. Belief that does not rest on logical proof doesn't seem logical, but you believe in it. Faith is something that's not necessarily logical or it's material evidence. You know, you don't have it in your hands, you can't have it, it doesn't exist in the palms of your hands, but it's real. It's real to you. That's a faith. Definition five, faith is a loyalty to a person or thing. It's their allegiance to something. We pledge allegiance to the United States of America. We believe in the quality and the standards of our country, so we pledge our allegiance. It's a loyalty to something. Definition number five, faith is a secure belief, and this is the faith that I want to securely look at today, a secure belief in God and a trusting acceptance of His will. Faith. A belief in God and a trust in His will. In other words, faith then, if God asks us to do something, even though we may not like it and we act upon it, this is faith. We may not enjoy the experience, we may not enjoy or have any pleasure in it, but doing it takes faith, acting upon God's will. We're going to look at 3 points today, the definition of faith. We're going to look at 3 points of our faith and relationship with God. Point number one, faith in God. Does God expect us to have faith? Is this a biblical standard found in Scripture? Is this something God expects from us, that we have faith or faith in Him? Point number two today, we're going to find that faith justifies. In other words, faith brings about justification in our present life or in our joy in God. Faith in me. What does faith have to do with me? So let's go ahead and get started today and look at Hebrews chapter 11, and we're going to look at 11 verse 6. Hebrews chapter 11, we're going to spend the majority of our time in Hebrews chapter 11 today. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. Does God expect me to exercise a faith? Faith in and a belief in Him and a trust in Him. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 2. I'm sorry, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Notice what the Bible says here. But without faith, all right, faith, without faith, it is impossible to do what? To please Him. Without faith, it is absolutely impossible to please God. How many of you here today want to please God? I hope you do. I want to. I want to please God here. The reason we come to church, the reason that we endeavor to have a relationship with God is not only for our salvation, but hopefully to bring joy to the heart of God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, notice what the term faith here is in this verse. For he that comes to God must do what? What? Believe. So the act of faith, or faith here, is a belief in God. Amen? So in other words, the first priority as Christians is that we must believe in God. We must believe that He exists. If we don't believe that He exists, right, it's impossible to please Him. It makes sense, right? It's impossible to please God or even have a relationship with Him if you don't even believe He exists. So faith here is a belief or believing in God. Notice what it says, for he that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that do what? Diligently seek Him. What's diligence? What is that word? How can we define diligent today? It's a tenacity, something that doesn't give up. We pursue. We want excellence. We want to strive to do something. In this action here of faith, faith causes movement. And I heard on the radio this week, talking about faith, this is where I was a little encouraged, inspired to speak about faith. The speaker said that many of us in the congregation don't even have a right to be in church. I thought, man, how can he say that? We don't have a right to be at church. If our faith does not cause us to move or bring action to our feet, there's no point in coming to church. Faith causes movement. Faith causes action. The responsibility of the Christian, the responsibility of the Seventh-day Adventist Christian, is action, is movement. God is asking us of our faith to diligently do what? In verse 6, seek Him. Our faith should cause us to seek God once a week? No, daily. Does our faith cause us to seek God daily? Good question, isn't it? I'm not asking you to raise your hand, but I want to ask you a question. How many of you have sought God this week? How many of you have sought God every day this week? How many of you have sought God before coming to church today? He says here that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. We must come to God with faith in the anticipation, the acceptance that God will reward His children when we diligently seek Him. Diligence is something that doesn't give up. In other words, we make that a priority in our lives to seek God daily and regularly. Just as we take food into our body three times a day, I pray that you are taking the grace of God into your life at least three times a day. And taking the opportunities daily to seek God. His promise to us is that He will reward us for seeking Him. Amen? Isn't that a wonderful promise? That God will reward us? I don't know what reward He has in store for you. One reward that we are assured of is eternal life. By seeking Him, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. The promise to you and I today is that if we seek God, God will reward us. But friends, faith causes movement in the Christian experience. And do I dare say today that if you are not seeking God regularly, or you haven't sought God for a while, that maybe there's something lacking in your faith? Faith causes action. It causes movement. What highlighted for me in verse 6 is, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Isn't that a sad commentary for the Christian today? Many of us lack faith. Many of us have exercised faith. Many of us don't even have faith. It's amazing. We must believe that God exists. I want to please God. One thing I noted is that God is the author and the finisher of our faith. We're going to look at that verse again here today. But God is the one who gives us the gift of faith. Just as we can pray for and ask for, if we have lack of wisdom, we can ask for wisdom, so I believe that we can ask God to give us faith. As the man prayed to Jesus, he said, "Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief." What was he asking of him? "Lord, give me faith that I may believe that what you are going to do will happen. Give me faith." Doubting Thomas was discouraged much of his experience because he wouldn't believe it unless he saw it. Jesus finally said, "Touch my hands, feel my side." And finally, when he did, he said, "My Lord and my God." Faith believes that God exists before God tells you that he's there. Romans chapter 1, verse 20 tells us that the creation of the world, the Godhead is clearly seen in the creation of the world. We aren't without excuse. There's enough evidence of God's reality. But if we are to please God, we must have exercised faith. Faith and justification. Point number 2. Turn with me to Romans chapter 5, our scripture reading. Keep your finger there in Hebrews 11. We'll come right back to that. Hebrews chapter 11. Keep your finger there. But we're going to go to Romans chapter 5, our scripture reading for the day. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. The Bible says, "Therefore, being justified by what? Faith." What is justified? What is justification? Justification is being made right in the eyes of God. Justified is being made right in the sight of God. Jesus said, "If you confess your sins, he will cleanse us from all," what? "All unrighteousness." Being made right in the presence or in the eyes of God. I don't know about you, but that sure is a good sounding word, is that my friend or my son, my child that has been justified in the blood of Christ. To hear those words spoken from God, "You have been made just." We only stand just as we have accepted the blood and the atonement of Jesus. Amen? Without it, we have no what? No hope of eternity, no hope of justification. Justification makes me right in the eyes of God. When I'm condemned by the law, when I'm condemned by this present world of sin, the blood of Jesus justifies me in his sight. So if you have accepted Christ and accepted his atonement and his blood, you stand justified. Amen? It's good news, isn't it? But notice this. "Therefore, being justified by what? Faith." This is where reality really begins to hit home with us. We must believe that we have been justified. Amen? We must believe that God has taken away our sins. We must believe that Jesus has sanctified us when he went to the cross. Amen? Faith accepts the atonement. Faith accepts that Jesus died on the cross. Faith accepts the fact that Jesus, when his blood was spilled out, it's his blood that justified, it's his blood that cleansed. Therefore, we are justified by faith. I've had people call me up and say, "You know, Pastor, I'm not too certain whether God has truly forgiven me." Isn't that is just, to me, that's sad. Why should we ever think that if I have asked for forgiveness from God or Christ, that he wouldn't forgive me? It's a lack of faith. It's very clear, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to do what? Forgive us and to do. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Not just some of it, but all of it. It's by faith. if we say that God has not cleansed me or Jesus hasn't cleansed me from my sin, it's saying that his sacrifice was worthless. His sacrifice didn't have any meaning or implication in my life. But by faith, we accept that Jesus died on the cross. We didn't see it happen. We weren't there personally to witness it. But we have the testimony of the Spirit of prophecy to tell us that Jesus died. So by faith, we reach back and we accept Christ's death. By faith, we accept that Christ cleanses us. Therefore, it says, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith, and this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Faith gives us access to the presence of God. What did we just read? Without faith, it's impossible to please Him, right? Faith brings us into a covenant. Faith draws us into a relationship. Faith draws us into contact with God. Though we have millions and millions and millions of light years or miles between the existence of earth and the existence of heaven, it's faith that draws us to the throne of God. Amen? It's faith that draws God's throne to our side. It's faith to recognize that we are sitting in heavenly presence right now. It's faith to see what we can't see. It's faith that brings access to God. And I like what the commentary said, the happy effects of justification through faith in the righteousness of Christ. Our faith in Christ brings about our own happiness. And so many times I see people, Christians, you know, shuffling their way into church, you know, like they've just been visiting a morgue or something for the last week, and they're just discouraged, you know. And faith brings about happiness. It brings joy. Why? Because Jesus cleansed me from my sins, right? Jesus has forgiven me. Jesus has blessed me. I've been in the presence of God throughout this week. I've been in the presence of God today. I've been in the presence of God yesterday. Faith is what draws me into His presence. Faith brings joy, you see. Why is it that the Christian who dies has much joy on their face as they go through that process? Because they have faith in after the tomb, amen? Why is it that the unbeliever has no happiness when they seek the grave? Because they don't have hope in after the tomb. But the Christian can see. Faith helps them to see the unseen. Faith draws us through the tomb. Though we die, yet I will see God. Faith helps me see the reward. Faith helps me see into the future. Faith helps me see into eternity. Faith causes action. Amen. What about the poor crippled man at the pool of Bethesda? Sat there for 34, 35 years, or however long it was. Jesus comes along and asks almost a ridiculous question to the man. Do you want to walk? Do you want to be healed? What are you, nuts? I've been laying here for how many years? What kind of question is that almost, you know? But his eyes caught eyes of his eyes turned and beheld Christ. And for a moment, God's divinity began to flash into his heart and faith began to unravel. And once again, there was hope for this man. He looked into the eyes of Jesus and he says, I've been here. 35 years, 34 years, however long he's been there. No man to carry me into the water when the pool starts a swirling. Nobody, but everybody goes in after me. The only way I can get there is if I drag myself with my hands. There's no other way to get there. And Jesus rests upon him and says, take up your bed and walk. And with that, Jesus turns and begins to go. And I can just imagine, maybe for a moment, he doubts. What is this man, nuts? What is he, crazy? I've been laying here all these years? He didn't do that, did he? Faith caused action, and it brings hope. And for the moment of his life and that opportunity, there was joy. And I can see those old legs beginning to get feeling and trembling again. And they begin to become new again. And he begins to stand up and he begins to make his way to his feet again. He never touched the pool of Bethesda. But he touched the heart of God by his faith. And he rolled up that mat, and the first thing that happened was accusation, trial, and hardship. When the faith set in motion causes action, the first thing that's going to happen in our experience, I believe, is hardship. We're going to be tried. We're going to be challenged. But God says he will reward those who do what? Diligently seek him. Amen? We're not looking for earthly reward. We're looking for heavenly. But faith rested in the eyes of Jesus, and that man was able to walk. There's a spiritual illustration here. Many of us are crippled because of sin. Many of us are crippled because of disease in our life. But many of us are crippled because of our own sin. We can't see beyond the tips of our nose. But Jesus rests his eyes upon us, and he asks us to exercise our faith so that we can walk. Causes action, causes movement. Is your faith being challenged today? Are you seeing the eyes of Jesus today? Can your faith reach into heaven and see the throne of God and see the presence of God? This is the type of faith that God is requiring and requesting and asking of us, that we can see him. Faith brings about healing in our lives, spiritual healing, which I know many of us here today may need spiritual healing. Faith brings about healing. As we read on in our verse here, by whom, verse 2, also we have access by faith into the grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. When our faith is exercised, then when we see the glory of God, we have joy. Amen? We have joy. I don't know about you, but I want to experience the Christian joy. And I believe the Christian joy is a faith in God, a faith in Jesus. Now turn with me, if you will, back to Hebrews chapter 11. We looked at faith in God, faith and God, Hebrews chapter 11, 6. It's impossible to please God without faith. We looked at faith and justification. It's my faith that justifies me. I must believe that God is the one that cleanses me and that my sins are forgiven and cleansed. But now we have to put in perspective what faith is for me and what I'm to do with faith. In Hebrews chapter 11, the word faith is mentioned 22 times in this chapter alone. It's said that if God says it once, it's very important. If God says it twice, it must be really important. If God says it three times, it's very, very important. But God, through the inspiration of his Holy Spirit given to holy men, wrote this faith chapter, and 22 times mentions faith. Faith is to be a part of our lives. It's to be just as our hands are connected to our arms and our hair is connected to our head and our feet are connected to our bodies, so faith is to be a part of our Christian experience. He says here in verse 1, now faith is the evidence of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Verse 3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Verse 4, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Verse 5, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death. Verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. Verse 7, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark. Verse 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance. Verse 9, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise. Verse 11, through faith Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. Verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promise. Verse 17, by faith Abraham. Verse 20, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau. Verse 21, by faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both his sons. Verse 22, by faith Joseph, when he died, made a mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. Verse 23, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months. Verse 24, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, Verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. Verse 28, through faith he kept the Passover. Verse 29, by faith they passed through the Red Sea. Verse 30, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down. Verse 31, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not. Verse 33, through faith subdued kings, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. By faith these people became extraordinary men and women by faith. It is by faith that we see the hand of God move in our lives. By faith we see God work in our lives by faith. And no wonder in chapter 12, verse 2, if you'll turn with me there, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our what? Of our faith. You know, friends, when we get to heaven, when we are in heaven, I believe a book will be written similar to this. By faith, Roger. By faith, Debbie. By faith, Bill. By faith, Mike. By faith. By faith in the trust and the belief in Jesus Christ. For without that faith, we have absolutely nothing. It's in the atonement and the blood of Jesus that we have eternal life. Amen? These men and women practice faith. And because of their faith, the walls of Jericho came down. Amen? Because of faith, a harlot was saved. Because of faith, an elderly woman conceived. It was because of faith. It's a belief in the promises of God. And friend, without it, we will not see redemption or salvation or eternity. It's impossible to please God without faith. If any of you are lacking faith here today, if any of you lack faith, Jesus here, as it says in Hebrews chapter 12, He is the author, He is the finisher of our faith. Faith is a gift from God. Amen. Any of us who lack faith can ask Jesus. And Jesus will offer to us what? Faith. Lord, give me faith that I might see. Lord, give me faith that I might know. Give me faith that I might accept. Give me faith that I might receive. Give me faith that I might be blessed. Give me faith that you may be honored. Faith is a gift from God. And it wasn't written 22 times in one chapter so that we could skim over and wonder, do I have faith or do I need it? What is faith again? The Bible's definition. The evidence of things what? The evidence of things what? We may not see it, but we can hope for it. We may not have it tangible in our presence, but we can see it. Amen? Faith is believing what you don't see. Amen? So if we want to categorize all this, faith is believing that Jesus died on the cross. Faith is believing that Jesus took away my sins. Faith is believing that God will save me. Faith, we can go on and on and on and on. But many of us lack faith. We don't have the hope. We don't have the assurance. We don't have the promise. But God wants us today more than ever to have faith in our lives. Amen? What do you say? Does that sound good? Sounds good.